Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
We are very happy to continue our weekly feature on the Roundtable entitled Ideas Matter, checking in with the public humanities as our chance to check in with the humanities councils throughout our seven-state area to discuss important ideas and why they do indeed matter. This morning, we spotlight mass humanities and their work on the quote-unquote demise of the humanities, that rumored demise, and how the reports of the demise of the humanities have been greatly exaggerated. And it is a great pleasure to welcome Pulun Barisius, who is Director of Grants and Programs with Mass Humanities. Pulun, thank you very much for being with us once again.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Well, I'm doing wonderful, and it's a delight to have you on the program and have you back. This is something that I find fascinating because as we speak, Congress is debating a 50% cut to the National Endowment of the Humanities, and what we have to discuss, I think, as a culture and as people, of the importance to humanities and why they are important, but also why they must be maintained.
Well, the humanities are central to what we are. Without the humanities, we don't know where we came from or where we're going. And what seems interesting is that as a culture, we're doing a lot of accounting. We're doing this sort of every ship on its own bottom accounting. That is, in the universities where the humanities are quote-unquote declining, the idea is that the humanities should be paying for themselves, that people should find jobs with humanities degrees that pay for this, as opposed to seeing the humanities as simply central to the whole functioning of our society.
When we talk about the cuts, and we also talk about reports of the demise of the humanities have been greatly exaggerated, how do you believe that demise has been exaggerated?
Well, I guess the demise is seen as twofold. One is that there's less attention, that less people major in humanities in universities, although that's not really true. And the other is that we're spending less money on the humanities. But in fact, for the public humanities, the work that we do, there has never been a better time. It is, the internet has brought with it a riches, an incredible availability of materials, of interactive humanities programming. So in that sense, people love the humanities. There are incredible numbers of history books because the reports of the demise of the paper book has been greatly exaggerated as well. And so it really, it's almost, there has never been a better time almost in that way.
So why are we looking to cut it? What case do we have to make, in your opinion, to keep that from happening?
Why we're looking to cut, I think that is one of those questions that answers itself, is that people who have, the world is flat without humanities. If you walk down the street and you don't have a sense of what you're seeing, the history of it, of where it's going, of how it got there, what kind of industries caused your town to grow, and the same with your nation, then you start to get a sort of an impoverished world, a world in which it is only about me and how many things I can have, as opposed to how can we all make a better society together. And I think it is that kind of accounting on, in a large sense, as a nation, but also accounting in a personal sense. Should I be paying for that? That is causing us to see the humanities as a frill, when in fact the humanities are our eyes.
And I think it is. We look at the humanities, of course, but it's often lumped in with arts and humanities. And we take both of those and say, okay, this is where we're going to make this particular cut. We see this on the most micro level and the most macro level. And I think we're all on the same page, at least you and I are, about the importance of the humanities and the importance of the arts. What I don't understand, and I've never been able to really make this link, is that so often when communities and municipalities are in trouble, the first thing they try to do to bring back a community, and we were just talking to the great Bob Cudmore about this, but when you talk about bringing back a community, it so often has to do with the arts and humanities as the building block to bring it back.
Well, that's right, or bringing groups in and starting to get people connected to what the community is and was. So
that's a disconnect that I don't understand.
Well, the big question is humanities for who? I think that there's so much available, we believe in it, but the idea is that it is only for those people who can already afford it. And so we don't want to pay, we see it as not that essential for the rest. And if you look at the history of the world, as it were, then the humanities have been reserved for the more well-to-do people. The rise of the humanities for everyone is the rise of the middle class. So with the demise of the middle class also comes the demise of the humanities for everyone, except that it's there. The stuff is there. I mean, if you want to read the letters of Thomas Jefferson, you can go online and read them. If you want to walk through an Egyptian temple as it was recreated in the Met, you can go on a website and do it for free. But it's that education, the knowing that it's there, that we're not distributing, that we're not willing to put the money into that.
How do we inform the citizenry and make the case and how that is put into place and actually acted on?
Well, I read this funny article that was written this summer by a commentator in Washington who basically says the people who make the case for the humanities are doing that, saying that the humanities are good for us. They're good vitamins. They make our society survive. It's like saying dancing is good for you, for your heart, but that's not why you dance. You dance for the pleasure of it. And the same way I think it is with the humanities. I mean, the way we pull people into understanding how important the humanities are is by having them experience and by bringing programs to them. And that is what we do, of course. But that is the only way, the real way in. If you read, there's a whole tradition of immigrant autobiography from the early 20th century. And if you read those autobiographies, very frequently they are about the discovery of the library, discovery of reading and books, and the power that gives people. And that is really the only way to get humanity, get good reading, to get interesting history, not just cramming dates to kids so that they'll start to understand how important it is to them, themselves, and to the society.
When do you think are we feeling the effects now of a decline already, or are we still trying to protect something that is as vital as it ever was?
I think the humanities are very vital. Like I was saying, that's where the report is exaggerated. The rumor is exaggerated. They're vital online. It's free everywhere. I mean, in my free time at night, I'm taking a class on Roman architecture online for free, just because I was curious about it. And so anyone can do that. But we are feeling the effect in the sense that there are large numbers of people who don't get put in touch, who don't have a good connection. The more the schools are teaching to the test, the less the kids get to have good theater experiences or go to a museum and feel how powerful it is. So yes, we are feeling the effects. We, the Humanities Councils, have been cut again and again and again. We're doing a lot of good fundraising on our own, I think, but the schools are feeling it. So yes, we are feeling it, but we're feeling it into a lessening of humanities materials and humanities experiences available to people who are not, by dint of already having an education, who don't know where to look already.
You were quoting from the mentioning the article in the Washington Post, which you were nice enough to send me. And there's a great line in there, a great paragraph in there about learning a new language might help you score well on the SATs, but that's not why you do it. You do it so you can talk to people on paper or out loud who would have been closed off from you otherwise, only accessible through the pale pottage of translation. So that really struck me because I think we become, we often become, and I worry about our culture becoming very insulated and kind of self-indulgent and really wanting to be closed off.
And so the danger is indeed that we become very isolated. Some articles say that as other countries are trying to emulate our broad education system and our broad liberal arts education, we are more specializing and thereby looking at our own belly buttons and not seeing the rich the connections we have with others.
So tell us how, just give us examples, because you have wonderful programs that are going on right now that you have those riches, as you just mentioned, these riches and things that you're doing for kids to get them young and to say, this is what we're doing in the humanities and to help make that connection.
Well, I'll give you some examples. For instance, things that we help fund. There's a wonderful website on Shay's Rebellion. From the Springfield Technical Community College, so it's Shay's Rebellion, stcc.edu, I think it is.
Yes.
Or /edu, I'm not sure. I think if you look up Shay's Rebellion,
shaysrebellion.stcc.edu.
Yeah. It's a wonderful website that allows kids to explore the causes of Shay's Rebellion and also the participants, or even down to what they wore. There's a website called girlonawheelship.org, which is from the Martha's Vineyard Museum. It showcases the diary of an 8-year-old or 6 to 9-year-old girl who was on a whale ship with her dad going around the world. And it explodes the diary. It can be examined as part of the economics of whaling. It can be examined as part of childhood in the 19th century. It can be examined just for itself. You can put a looking glass on it and look in great detail at her handwriting and how it involves and how it evolves. At these websites there are ways to work with them, programs to work with them with kids. There's another one called Shipwrecks of Boston Harbor, which is a map of all the shipwrecks that went down in Boston Harbor that we know of over the last 400 years, and with information about each of the wrecks. And there's so much out there. It's really wonderful.
And these are all things that have been funded by Mass Humanities.
They are.
You can find out more about their great work by going to masshumanities.org, masshumanities.org. Plun Boesius is Director of Grants and Programs for Mass Humanities. Plun, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for all your great work.
Thank you very much, and the same to you, Joe.
A delight. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.